I grew up as the son of one of the most well-known ministers of all time, Oral Roberts. And it was difficult. It was good and it was bad at the same time. It was good because I loved my father and I loved what he did. I loved the ministry. I knew he was the real deal. But it was difficult because I took the brunt of all the jokes, all the criticism, all the ostracism that I endured through school. And it drove me away from God. By the time I was 14, I was not interested in God. I was not interested in the ministry. I wanted my own dream and my own life. I wanted to be a nightclub entertainer. And by the time I was 15, I was playing guitar and learning how to play the guitar. I became a lead singer in a rock and roll band in Oklahoma where I lived. And by the time I was in high school, my father was building the university that Pastor Gary and Drinda spoke of. That's where they met. He was building that, and I was in high school, and I wasn't interested at all. I told my dad, get the hell out of my life. And he said, well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life. Sounds funny now. It wasn't funny then. And that was the last place I wanted to go to school when I graduated from high school. And so I went away. I applied at three schools outside of Oklahoma. I was accepted at all three. I took the one that was the farthest away. I went to the University of Kansas, where I was a music and theater major. And I was training to be a nightclub entertainer. I was performing on the weekends, and I was involved in all kinds of school things. And God was the farthest thing away from my life, and nobody knew who I was, and that was fine with me. Until I became ill, and I was hospitalized at the University of Kansas Medical Center. And the doctors said, you're going to have surgery. Well, I had had a few colds in my life and an occasional flu, but I'd never been ill. I'd never been in a hospital like that. And I lay there in that hospital room at the University of Kansas Medical Center in Lawrence, Kansas, in a ward with three or four other young men. And I began to call on the God I was running from. It's amazing who you call on when you get in trouble. A man said to me, I don't believe in miracles. I said, well, you will when you need one. And I needed one. And I said to the Lord, if you will heal me, I will serve you. And I'm telling you, I remember it like it was yesterday. The power of God went through my whole body. And I knew something had changed. And the next morning, the doctors re-examined me before they took me to the surgical suite. And the doctor said, what has happened to you? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the blockage, it's gone. And they released me from the hospital. And I quickly forgot my promise. Another year went by. And I went back home and tried to build a relationship again with my dad, but I wasn't successful at it. And I was out on the road again preaching, and I was in Chicago singing. I had been offered a contract with the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas. My dream was going to come to pass. I was going to sing in their lounges, and then I was going to graduate up to becoming a headliner. And I got sick again in Chicago. And I was raging with fever. I lost my voice. I could scarcely stand up. They carried me to the bus. We drove the 700 or 800 miles back to Tulsa, took me back to my parents' home, put me in my old bed, which I'd not been in a long time. My mother said, your father's in California preaching, and he'll be home the next day, and he'll come in and lay hands on you. Well, I knew what would happen if Oral Roberts laid hands on me, because he'd laid hands on me many times. I knew I would be healed, I'd be good as new, and I could make my journey to Las Vegas. And he came into my room the next day. I was still in bed. And he reached out his hand to touch me. But before he did, he withdrew his hand and he stepped back and he said, son, I had no idea. I said, what do you mean, Dad? No idea. He said, I had no idea that the anointing was so strong on you for the healing ministry. I said, what? The anointing is on you for the healing ministry. I said, I want to go to Las Vegas. He said, the anointing is on you for the healing ministry. And he began to prophesy, which he did oftentimes. And he said, I see you standing before kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers all over the earth. I see you conducting great crusades in healing ministries all over the earth, in stadiums, large fields. I see God operating through you by the word of knowledge. I didn't know what the word of knowledge was. He said, I see him operating through the gifts of healing. I didn't know what the gifts of healing were. He said, I see you laying hands on presidents and prime ministers, and God's going to use you mightily. Well, I was in a state of shock. And he reached out his hand and he touched me, and it was like I had put my finger into an electric light socket. The power of God went through me. Suddenly my voice returned, the fever left. I was able to stand up, but instead of standing, I got on my knees. And I prayed a prayer that went like this: O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I repented, and that night I was born again. I was 19. That night, a few hours later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. My life was transformed. I joined my dad in ministry. Our relationship was healed, and I stood by his side for more than 40 years until he went home to be with the Lord in 2009. Now, most of you that are teenagers or younger will not remember him, but much of the world remembers him and what he did. And I honor his memory tonight for what he did. He laid his hands on more than 2 million people individually in his lifetime, and estimated won more than 15 million to Christ. I honor that memory. All through these years, I have served God. I've operated in a number of different capacities over the years. The first job I had was to be his assistant. Holly, you'll understand that. Where he went, I went. If he needed a tie, I got it. If he needed a glass of water, whatever he needed, I did it. That's how I started out. And then I became an aide to him. And then later I became a vice president of the ministry, and later an executive vice president of the university that I ran away from. And then in 1993, I was elected the second president of the university. And I served for 14 years as president, graduating more than 8,000 students under my tenure. And then in 2009, I stepped back into the evangelistic field, which is my calling. And every word that he prophesied has come to pass. I've conducted crusades in some 40 nations around the earth. I've laid hands on 36 heads of state, presidents, prime ministers. I've had crowds of up to 200,000 in one night. I've seen as many as 25,000 Muslims give their hearts to the Lord in one service. But it's not because of me. It's because of him who is in me. And I give honor and glory to him. And I thought I should share a little bit of that testimony tonight, just so you could get an idea of kind of what I'm all about. It's a very special time for me in my life. My wife and I, we live in Tulsa. We have three wonderful daughters. And celebrating next week, I know what they're doing. They're at home. They're getting ready to decorate the house because my birthday is next week. They're celebrating. I'm celebrating my 74th birthday next week. Now, I know I don't look older than 73, but I'm going to be 74. And I thank God for them and for all of my family. About 6 years ago, I got up one morning early to pray. And you know how you get up and you sit on the side of your bed for a minute, you kind of rub your eyes to kind of get yourself awake. And as I was doing that, clear as a bell, the Lord spoke to me and said, your crusade days are over. Well, suddenly I was wide awake. And I said, Lord, what do you mean my crusade days are over? He said, your crusade days are over. And I said, well, Lord, if my crusade days are over, what am I going to do? That's what I've done for all these years, all over the world. What do you want me to do? And he reminded me of a prophetic word that my father gave over me before he passed. He said, Richard, when you get into your late 60s, you will become a minister to ministers. And you'll teach people on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith all over the world. Your crusade days will end, and you'll teach pastors in underdeveloped nations all over the earth. And he said, as a sign to you, your crusade invitations will dry up. You'll not hear from any presidents or prime ministers to come to their nation. But instead, you'll start hearing from pastors' groups all over the world. Well, it happened just like that. And it's been happening for the past 6 years. Just a couple of weeks ago, I did a pastors' conference in Pakistan by Zoom with 15,000 pastors. I didn't know there were 15,000 pastors in Pakistan, but there are. I've been doing it in India. I've been doing it in Ukraine. I've been doing it up at the North Pole among the Eskimos. I've been doing it in Central America, in Africa, all over the world. And God is blessing. I have a vision in my heart for touching 100,000 pastors a year. And if each of those pastors ministers to 1,000 people during that year, that's 100 million people. Touching 100 million people for Christ in a year. There's an end time harvest of souls coming. How's it going to happen? Because of us. People like us who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are anointed, who have the power of the Holy Spirit to go to Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, all the places in the earth. And thank God for that. So tonight, I thought I would just share a little bit with you about the healing ministry. If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus 15:26. And then I have a feeling that God is going to confirm his word with many miracles and signs and wonders tonight. Praise God. I'm not a long preacher. I'll leave that to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth has been a friend since the 1960s. He started his ministry under my father. And I've known him since 1967. He and I have been great friends over the years, and I thank God for him and Gloria and for their family. Exodus 15:26. Kenneth does not preach by the clock. He preaches by the calendar. Kenneth can take Jesus Wept and preach on it for 3 hours. Seen him do it. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let that get into your spirit tonight. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God is the source of all healing. If it comes through prayer, thank God. If it comes through a doctor, thank God. If it comes through diet or climate or exercise or some health habits, good health habits or good eating, thank God. He's the source of it all. We thank the person who prays. We thank the doctor who treats and medicates, but we give the glory to God. God is the healer. Now turn over to Acts 10:38. Acts 10, verse 38. These are the words of Peter. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was involved in the healing ministry while he was on this earth. And he hasn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he ever healed, he's still healing today. And now turn over to 3 John 2, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. 3 John only has one chapter. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So therefore, we understand that God wants us well in every area of our lives, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, in your business, in your job, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your emotions, in every area of your life. He wants you well. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, God wants you well. He gets no glory out of sickness and disease. That's the devil's territory. The thief or the devil, John 10:10 tells us, came but for to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And that's not sickness and disease. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And everybody on this earth is sick in some way. Everyone faces a need in some area of their life. And Jesus came to meet that need. And that's the call on my life, to teach that message to pastors all over the world. I just was with 1,100 pastors. Was on Thursday or Friday, Jeff? Thursday of last week was 1,100 pastors teaching these principles on healing the Holy Spirit and seed faith. And in that country that I was in, they sent emissaries from all their security division because they were afraid that I was going to start a riot. Because it is a Muslim country, they thought I was going to try to get all those pastors to rise up against the government. And the newspaper reporters came because they thought they were going to have a big story. And there were dissidents who came to try to break up the meeting if I said one thing against the government, but I did not. All I did was lift up the name of Jesus. And I've learned that all over the world. When I have debated the Muslim clerics, the Lord says, don't answer their questions, just tell them about me. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the healing ministry. Say, if you're sick, let me pray for you. And nobody gets upset. There was no story the other day. The newspapers didn't write anything. The dissidents didn't do anything. The security forces said, you're welcome in our country anytime. Because you're not doing anything that's subversive in any way. Well, Jesus was not subversive and neither am I. So I thank God for that. And God has done so many miracles over the years that have charged crowds up. I talked to you a minute ago about 25,000 Muslims giving their hearts to the Lord in one night. That happened in a place up in northern Nigeria. I was conducting a crusade there in a little city called Jos. And I had debated the Muslim clerics, the leading Muslim clerics, the night before on live television. And I invited them to come to the crusade the next night. And during that service, God gave me a word of knowledge about someone in the crowd, and there were about 15,000 people there, someone who was in need of healing, who had been crippled and was unable to walk. And I gave that word of knowledge to the crowd, and I went ahead and prayed for others, and pretty soon there was a commotion in the crowd. And it was out on a field. There were no aisles, no chairs. Everybody was standing all around the platform. I'm surrounded by about 15,000 people. And this young man came through the crowd, and the crowd opened up for he could come to the front, and they were jumping and cheering and shouting, and I had no idea what they were doing. I was being translated into the Hausa language, and I didn't know what they were doing or saying. And he came up on the platform, and he started running and jumping, and he would squat down and jump back up and run again and run back and forth across the platform. And I said to the interpreter, what's he doing? What's going on? He said, well, you don't understand. This young man is named Abdul. He's about 20 years old. His parents carry him to the post office every morning where he sits in the dirt and begs for money because he's never walked in his life. He's been crippled from birth. It's like John, that's it. I knew I'd get it. I'm slow, but I'm worth waiting on. You remember that story in Acts where Peter and John met the man there at the gate, had been carried there, same kind of story. And when the interpreter told me what was going on, I started jumping and rejoicing and praising God. And the news media was there, as they always are, you know. They came with their cameras and they interviewed this young man. And the next morning, on the front page of the Jos newspaper, it said, beggar of Jos healed. On the front page. And that next night, that next night, 100,000 people came to the crusade. And that's the night 25,000 Muslims gave their heart to the Lord because of that one miracle. Now, there were many other miracles that happened. But God has used those kind of supernatural miracles all over the world. I remember I was in Niger, which is a French-speaking country just at the lower end of the Sahara Desert. And it's rated one of the two or three poorest countries in the world. No one had ever been allowed to go in to the country. My longtime friend, Reinhard Bonnke, who's in heaven now, had tried for years. No one had ever been allowed to have a crusade in Niger. It was forbidden. The country is Muslim, and it was impossible to get in. But we took a team of doctors and nurses and medicines and vitamins, and the doctors, we even took a surgeon with us, and the government let me in. I was the first person ever to be allowed to have a crusade in Niger. And while I was there, I went to see the president, and we had our group with us, and we were walking, and standing in his office, and he was speaking in French. It's a French-speaking nation, colonized by France many years ago. When it gained its independence, though, in the 1950s or 60s. And he was speaking in French, and we had an interpreter, and he was interpreting back and forth, and we were, you know, back and forth. And I said, "May I pray for you?" And I prayed for him and held his hand and prayed for him. And then he said, "Would the rest of your team leave, please, and would you stay with me?" Well, so my team left, and I stood there, and I wondered what was going to happen because I don't speak French. And the interpreter left, and it was just the president and me. And I just smiled at him, and he started speaking in absolutely perfect English. He said, "Sir, my wife has had a stroke. Would you go to my home and would you lay hands on my wife and pray?" Now, this is a Muslim president. And he put me in his presidential limousine and took me to the presidential mansion. And I got up on the bed and laid hands on his wife and prayed for her healing. God has opened so many doors. I was preaching in Accra, Ghana. They made me a citizen of Ghana while I was there, and I had to wear the outfit and everything. Wouldn't like this outfit, I'll tell you. We had about 40,000 people on the last day. We're in a big open field. The people that were hanging from trees and from the walls, and 40,000 people around like this. You just can't imagine what it's like. And no seats. Everybody's standing, and they just stand for hours and hours and hours. And they don't want you to leave. They don't want you to quit. And they brought me word that there was a woman who had come to the service who had been born with one breast. And she wanted me to pray that God would supernaturally create a second breast. And I said, "Okay." And so I began to pray. And about 20 minutes later, one of the pastors came up and said, "Brother Roberts, God has answered your prayer. The woman says that God has created a second breast." I said, "Really?" And yes. And I said, "Where is she?" And I said to the pastors, "Now, is this for real?" He said, "Oh, yes, it's for real. We all know her." And so she came up on the platform and she gave the testimony. And I made a terrible mistake. I said to her, "How do you know?" I should not have asked that question. She reached down and took her dress in her hands, and she lifted it for the entire crowd to see. All I can say is, it was true. What do you say in a moment like that? How about those Cubs? I mean, I didn't know what to say. I was in one country preaching, and we were driving down the street, and I heard this loudspeaker, and they were speaking in their language, and then suddenly I'd hear my name. And I wondered what they were saying in the language, and all of a sudden I'd hear my name. And they said... Or the interpreter in the car said, "Well, he's talking about you, and he's telling the people, do not go to the Richard Roberts crusade. There will be no miracles." And I just began to laugh because I knew there were going to be miracles. And that was the opening night of the crusade. And that opening night, there were 7 deaf people that were healed, totally deaf, and God healed them. And the second night, there were 9 blind people that were healed. And they stopped talking about me on the radio. And that week in that nation, 35,000 people gave their hearts to Christ because of the miracle that they had seen. God uses me through the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is supernatural information that comes from God into the heart and mind of a believer. And when you follow through and speak what you hear God saying inside you, someone gets healed. Now, in my case, I don't know how it is in others, but in my case, it's an unusual thing at how it happens. And when it first began to happen back in the early 1980s, I thought I was losing my mind because it was very strange. Suddenly, I would be preaching and I would lose sight in one of my eyes. or I would preach and suddenly I couldn't hear out of one of my ears, or suddenly I would get a terrible pain, or it felt like a bone would come dislodged and then go back into place. And whenever I felt that, suddenly I would see in my spirit, I would see a person who was facing that. And then when I would say, somebody has this and they're being healed, somebody always got healed. And at first, when it began to happen, I didn't understand. It took me a while to begin to understand how God was going to use me. And that's when the healing ministry began, back in the spring of 1980, just after Lindsay and I got married. We've been married now for 42 years. But it began happening then. And my father had prophesied that. He also prophesied about the gifts of healing. And he said, what's going to happen as you get older is you're going to have the operation of the gifts of healing much more so than the word of knowledge. And I said, why? And he said, because you're going to be on television more than I have been, and you're going to be in crusades around the world, and you're going to be with pastors, and you're going to be in situations where you're going to have to speak the word. Now, I remember the scripture in Psalm 107, verse 20, where it says, he sent his word and delivered them from their destructions. And that's what Jesus did with the Roman army captain. You remember the scripture, the Roman army captain came to Jesus in behalf of his military aide who was grievously tormented with paralysis. And what did Jesus say? I will come and heal him. In other words, I'll come and I'll lay my hands on him. But the centurion said, it's not necessary for you to come, for I am also a man under authority. And I say to this soldier, go, and he goes, or to this one, go, or do this, and he does it, or come, and he comes. But I recognize that you have authority above all authority. And you don't have to come and lay your hands on him. You just speak the word, and my aid will be healed. And Jesus, you remember, he marveled. He said, I've not seen such great faith. Only twice in the entire New Testament did Jesus use the phrase great faith. Once to a Roman army captain, and once to the Syrophoenician Lebanese woman who came to him in behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. Only twice did Jesus say, great faith, and he did with this Roman army captain. And Jesus sent the word, and as he sent it, as the army captain went back to his barracks some 15, 20 miles up the seacoast there, where the Roman barracks was located in the Tiberias area, word reached to him that at the same hour Jesus spoke the word, his aide was healed. And so we understand that sending the word is a powerful way to pray for people. And my father said, that's how God is going to use you. He said, you'll feel the power of God come up out of your chest and into your throat and out of your mouth. And when you speak, people will be healed. And I thought, well, that's an unusual thing. He said, it will happen later in your life. Well, I am later in my life now. And that's been happening more and more and more and more. And the good news is it's going to happen tonight. Yeah. Happens a lot on television. Lindsay and I do a program called The Place for Miracles, and it's growing in numbers. We just went on Daystar Español in 15 million Hispanic homes just this past week, and it's on a number of different Christian networks and all, in different cities. It's on in other nations as well. And God manifests the word of knowledge. We were on TV one night, and we were live that night, and there was a word of knowledge that came, and I heard myself say this. And so oftentimes I'm surprised when it comes out of my mouth, because I'm not planning on saying it. It just comes out of my mouth. And I heard myself say, there's a woman who has been diagnosed with cervical cancer, and you're pregnant. And your doctor's told you you're going to have to abort the baby so he can save your life. Well, I was shocked when I said it. And I said, whoever you are, come over to your television and touch the TV as a point of contact and let me pray for you. Well, I didn't know that there was a woman in New Jersey who just come back from the doctor. She was pregnant. She had cervical cancer. The doctor just told her you're going to have an abortion in order to save your life. And she walked into her home. Her mother was watching me on television at the precise moment that I said that word. God's so smart. And she came over to the TV crying and put her hands on the television. Her husband, police officer, came in as well. And the next day, she went back to her doctor, and the doctor said, well, I don't know what the problem is, but we can't find a trace of cervical cancer. gone, completely gone. Not only that, but she delivered a normal, healthy girl as well. We were on television one night, and I heard myself say, there's a man who's lost the feeling in your fingers. Your fingers were cut off during the Vietnam War, and the MASH unit surgeons sewed them back on in Vietnam, but you've had no feeling in your fingers since the 1960s. I was shocked when I said it. And we were live that night, and a man called us from Nashville. His name was Mike. He said, Richard, I was part of the Seabees, the construction unit in Vietnam, and my three small fingers were accidentally cut off in Vietnam, and the surgeons sewed them back on. But I've had no feeling in my fingers since the Vietnam War. And he said, but when you said that tonight, suddenly for the first time in all these years, I have all the feeling back in my fingers. Now that's how the word of knowledge works. On TV one night, and I said, there's someone whose hand is frozen together. Your fingers are frozen. It's like a duck's webbing on a duck's foot. You can't separate your fingers. They're webbed together. And I thought, well, that's an unusual thing for me to say. And I said, God's healing you now. And there was a woman and her son out in California watching up near San Francisco. And somehow her son, when he was a baby, had gotten his hand stuck on a hot stove. And it melded his fingers together. And for some years, he had been unable to open his fingers. They were just like this. And she said, when you gave that word that night, suddenly my son's fingers just opened up. And they've been healed ever since. Now that's how God uses me. It's not me. It's him using me. And I'm very careful to give him all the honor and all the glory. It's not because of me. I don't have any healing in me because I'm not the healer. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a delivery man. I say what God says, and when I say it, somebody is healed every time. I was just up with Andrew Womack. How many of you know who Andrew Womack is? I was just up with his. He had a Healing Is Here conference a few weeks ago up in the mountains in 8,000 feet there at Woodland Park. So I can't think of the name. Anyway, I'd not been there before. And there were about 2,000 people there. And oh my goodness, the altar was filled with people giving healing testimonies as a result of what God did that night. And that's what he's going to do tonight. And I'm sharing this with you just so you know, get a little idea. Pastor Amy was saying, what are you going to do? I said, well, I really don't know what I'm going to do because I don't know what God's going to do. But whatever he's going to do, I'm going to be a part of it, okay? You know, when he says jump, I'm going to say how high on the way up, okay? So as I said, I'm kind of a spontaneous person. I didn't plan any of this tonight. And then whatever plan I had, God changed during your wonderful worship, which happens to me quite a lot. I was preaching in Nairobi in Kenya, and my father had prophesied that when I went to Kenya, I would have twice as many people as he had when he was there back in the 60s. And when I got to the last night, he had 100,000 people in 1968 on the last day of his crusade there. And I was going there back a few years ago, and before he passed, he said, you'll have twice as many. And I thought, well, I've never seen 200,000 people before. But that night, when I got to the Uhuru Park in the center of Nairobi, by police estimate, there were 200,000 people in the crowd. I'd never seen a crowd like that in my life. I was in shock, and I was shaking. I was so scared. And I'd studied all afternoon and prepared a message, and I got on the platform, and God said, don't preach that. Well, thanks a lot. I've studied all day. He said, well, you needed to study. And he said, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, when the microphone touches your hand, you'll know. And I did. And there were many miracles. Those things have happened to me. Many of you know the ministry of Kenneth Hagin. I was sitting in the front row one night, right by where you are, of his camp meeting in Tulsa. And he was in the middle of his message. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his message, he stopped and said, now Richard Roberts will give the word of knowledge. I looked at Lindsay and said, Richard Roberts doesn't have any word of knowledge. And Brother Hagin took a microphone. He walked off the platform walking toward me, and I'm starting to shake because I have nothing to say. I came to hear him. But the minute the microphone touched my hand, the word of knowledge began to flow, and people began to get healed. Now, the Lord is a gentleman, okay? And he taught me to be a gentleman too, not to push my way in. You know, God, if you're supposed to be there, God will make a way for you. Now, you got to be available, you understand. But you don't push your way in. And I was in, I saw that letter in the back that Kenneth Copeland wrote to your mom and dad. And reading it, you have it framed back there. It's just so beautiful. And I was reminded, I was in a service with Kenneth, and he was preaching forever, as he always does. And right in the middle of his sermon, the Lord spoke to me and said, get up and give three words of knowledge. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. He's preaching, and you know how long he preaches. I'm not going to do that. So I just sat there. Second time I heard the Lord say, get up and give those three words of knowledge. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to disrespect him. I'm not going to do that. And he said again, get up and give those words of knowledge. I said, God, you get up, you give him those words of knowledge. I'm not going to do it. And he just kept on me, kept on me, and kept on me. Finally, I said, Lord, if you want me to give three words of knowledge, then you tell Kenneth. I said, well, that'll take care of that. About 10 seconds later, Kenneth turns around and said, Richard, I believe you have several words of knowledge. Would you come up here and give them? Yes, sir, I will. And I did. And then he preached for another hour. So God teaches us to be a gentleman, not to push our way through. The most important thing for you to know is God is your healer. Who has a need of healing in your back tonight? Would you stand up, please? Anyone has a need of healing in your back and you need prayer? Because God's going to begin to do a work in people's backs. Now, it's not by might, and it's certainly not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that I'm going to do what I'm going to do now. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to cooperate with me. When I tell you release your faith, I want you to let your faith go to God. You have faith. You're born with it. The Bible says that God has given to every person the measure, not a measure, but the measure of faith. You have all the faith that you need. You don't need to get any more faith because you've already got it. But what you must do is take that faith and use it. It was not intended to lie dormant in your heart. So when I say let your faith go, when I pray, you just let your faith go to God and believe and expect for a healing to come into your back. Will you do that now? And if you'll cooperate with me, God's going to heal a lot of backs tonight. Somebody touch that person who's standing. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Good, I'll do that, Lord. Even while someone's standing for your back to be healed, somebody else is getting a healing in your knee right now. You've had stiffness and swelling in your knee. And if you just stand up right now and begin to shake it, you're going to find your knee is totally healed. I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, but if you'll obey what I'm saying, start shaking your leg, you're going to find the swelling's down, the stiffness and the pain is gone. And also, there's someone who injured your thumb, and you're not able to move your thumb, and that's the base of your hand. That's your most important finger. And your thumb is being healed right now. You're going to have complete movement of your thumb in Jesus' name. Now, Father, right now, by the authority of your name and your word, I speak to every back, I speak to every disc, every vertebra, every pain that shoots down the back, the center of the back, the right side of the back, the left side of the back, the lower side, the lower part, every vertebra, every disc, all the way down to the tailbone, in the name of Jesus. Here it comes, every pain, come out. Now let your faith go to God. I take hold of it by faith. I reach in and take hold of that pain and I pull it out of you. I pull it out of you. I pull it out of you in Jesus' name. Now just start bending and moving and twisting and turning. Just start bending and moving and twisting and turning. You who have shoulder pain, stand up. You have shoulder pain or knee pain or hip pain or something along that line, something wrong with your hip or with your knee or with your ankle or with your shoulder, and you need healing right now. People have the inability to lift your arm up all the way because of pain. You get it up about this far and it catches and you drop it immediately and the pain shoots down your arm and it causes you problems when you sleep. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, somebody touch them now. Somebody touch them. In the name of Jesus, I release my faith for the healing in your shoulder. Shoulders, I speak to you, not in my name, but no, here it comes. In the name of Jesus, shoulder, be healed. I send the healing power into your shoulder now, and here it comes, in Jesus' mighty name. Every pain in the shoulder, come out. Now just start moving the shoulder. There's a freedom coming in shoulders right now in Jesus' name. I speak to the pain in the hip, the pain that shoots down the back of your hip and causes you problems even when you stand up. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain. Come out of the hip now. And the stiffness and the swelling in the knees that causes you an inability to walk without pain or climb steps or lift your leg up without pain, especially after you've been sitting for a while, I come against that now. In the name of Jesus, every pain in every knee, come out. And there it goes now. Now, just start lifting your knees up and down now. Begin to check your knees. Check for swelling. Check for stiffness now. Just lift it up and down. Lift it up and down. Knees and ankles. And feet. Yes, I'll do that, Lord. Who has a need of healing in your blood? Stand up. Anything wrong in your blood? Stand up. Anything wrong in your blood or a problem with your eyes? A cataract or a glaucoma or a blurred vision or something in your eyes? Stand up. Or a need of healing in your hearing? A loss of hearing, a eustachian tube, a balance problem, equilibrium problem, eardrum, ear canal. Anything wrong with your hearing? Or with your eyes, or anything wrong in your throat. Anything wrong in your throat, your voice box. That's affected your singing or anything like that. In the name, I see it. I see it. In the name of Jesus, just stand up right now. Now somebody touch them. Blood. The scripture says in Ezekiel 16:6, you shall not be polluted in your own blood. Now that's a promise. You shall not be polluted. Someone here tonight's been terribly concerned over your blood count, the red cells, the white cells, the outlaw cells. Someone here is very fearful of cancer, cancer in the blood, some type of Hodgkin's disease or something like that. If anyone here has a tumor or a mass or a growth of any type, stand up. Any type of diagnosis of cancer, be it in the blood or in the brain or in the breast or in any vital organ or in the bone, if that's you, stand up for prayer. We're seeing lots and lots of cancer healings. Lots and lots, including stage 4 cancer. Now somebody touch that person that's standing. In the name of Jesus, you shall not be polluted in your own blood. I speak to the blood for, yes, I'll do that, Lord, for the blood to flow through the arteries without restriction. Arteries open. Arteries open. Arteries open. Heart beat normally and cause the blood to flow all the way to your head and to your toes. I rebuke any type of blood disease, any type of hemophilia, any situation in the blood. Blood, every red cell, every white cell, be normal. Every outlaw cell, I drive you out. In the name of Jesus. Ears, eustachian tube, eardrum, open up. Just like you opened ears that night in Niger when you healed 7 deaf people on the first night and the mullahs stopped talking about me. In Jesus' name, ears open up now. In the name of Jesus. Now here comes healing now. It's like I call it like Rice Krispies. It's snap, crackle, and pop happening in your ears right now in Jesus' name. And eyes, I take authority over cataracts. I take authority over any type of problem in your eyes, over a glaucoma, any type of dullness of vision, dry eyes, cornea, retinal problems. In the name of Jesus, eyes, see. Vision, be restored. And I send that word to you right now in the name of Jesus. Throat, voice box, teeth, gums, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I send that word to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Every cancer, come out. Every tumor, every mass, every growth, come out in the name of Jesus. You who have a need of healing in your blood pressure or your blood sugar, stand up please right now quickly while there's an anointing for it. Stand up quickly, blood sugar, blood pressure, in the name of Jesus. Any type of heart problem or anything like that, or any other vital organ, your pancreas, your gallbladder, your liver, your colon, anything of that nature, anything like that, in the authority of Jesus' name, God made every part in your body to function. He did not create it to malfunction. So in the name of Jesus, I send that word into you right now. I send that word into every organ in your body, including reproductive organs. For the couple here tonight believing God for children and you've not been able to get pregnant, I prophesy over you, you're going to get pregnant soon in the name of Jesus. Be healed in your pancreas. Pancreas, produce the insulin that is natural in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the diabetes. I rebuke the hypoglycemia. Come out! In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the blood pressure problem. That which is too high, come down. And that which is too low, come up. In Jesus' mighty name, every trace of cancer, every tumor, every mass, every growth, just disappear. Just leave, and leave now. I rebuke the attack against your colon, against your gallbladder, against of the bones in your body. I speak to the bones. Who has a type of arthritis or brittleness in your bones? Stand up, please. Anyone has a problem in your bones and you need healing in your bones, in Jesus' name, I pray for the brittleness or for the softness in your bones. In Jesus' name, bones strengthen up. And all the brittleness, it's just like a conditioner, like you use a conditioner on your hair. God, send a conditioner into those bones. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the brittleness in Jesus' mighty name. Father, every sickness, every disease, come out in Jesus' name. Any anemic condition, every sickle cell, come out in Jesus' mighty name. Healed, healed, healed in every blood vessel. The blood flows unrestricted from your head to your feet. In the name of Jesus, carotid arteries, open up, so that the blood may go to the brain without any problem, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now just lift your hands unto the Lord and say, I receive. I receive. Say, I receive. I receive. I receive. I receive. Just let your faith go. I receive. I receive. I receive His touch in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.